I spoke to you this morning about the seventh seal. And if we're going to say what the Bible says about the seventh seal, it's just 30 minutes of silence. So if we're going to teach this to you from the scriptures, there's not going to be many comments that we can make. But you know, other things mentioned in the Bible that we don't have a lot of details about, but we hear Paul write about them. We hear Peter make comments about things even that Jesus said. We hear the apostles comment, and there's details that come with it. So really, I think that we in this day, as Johnny said, we are grateful that we've had somebody we believe was a mouthpiece of God, that either by vision or by inspiration or by revelation or by study and God revealing it to him, he taught us on things that the Bible said, and we understand it clearer. You, for example, even what like Paul says about the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and trump of God. You don't find that anywhere in the scriptures that Jesus said that's the way it's going to happen. But letting them be human beings, I believe that there was a time when Peter, Paul, James, John, those brothers were together and they were talking about, well, now the Lord said this. One said, well, he said this. Did that. And then Paul comes up and he's trying to make it clearer to the church at Thessalonica. Well, don't be anxious about those that are asleep. Because they've died doesn't mean they're not going to be caught away. But I'd not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that those which are asleep will come forth.
Yes.
And they'll rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air. And we take that and the doctrines and explanations and all we've made out of it. But whenever John the Revelator wrote about the seventh seal, he stood there and all he saw was silence. And then Brother Branham comes along and he's preaching the seals and he's talking about them in advance. And Brother Branham, even before he talked about bringing us the revelation of the seals and seeking the Lord for them, even before the angels came, explained it to him. Brother Branham had looked at these things. He'd made comments about it. He even preached a sermon about them, which he said in one place, he said, I had some things in error. I had to correct it.
Right. Amen.
So even when Brother Branham was preaching the church ages, he mentioned the silence in heaven.
Yes.
And that's the first time that I could find where he said there was silence because it was empty. And if you will look at the quotes that I'm going to read you today, you'll see that Brother Branham interchanges those terms for silence and emptiness.
Yes.
To him, he believed. Now, when is heaven empty? Well, that's Revelations 19. Now he doesn't say that, but it's when the Lord himself comes back on a white horse. And he says this five times, with all of his saints on white horses behind him to set up his millennial kingdom on earth.
Yes, amen.
Well, how many of you believe that the Lord's going to descend from heaven?
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
On a white horse, with all of his saints on white horses behind him, to set up his millennial kingdom.
Amen.
Well, I want you to observe tonight when we talk about this silence in heaven, Brother Bram talks about it ushers in the millennium. But when does the millennium start? When he comes back on a white horse in Revelation 19 to set up his millennial kingdom.
Amen.
That's the ushering in of the millennial kingdom.
Right.
Now, we talk about the tribulation and the trumpets and the vials, and everybody would like to know, well, it started on January this day and February that day, but we're in the spirit and the time and the age of these things happening. And so what I want to do tonight, if you'll allow me to, is I want to read you just what the scriptures say and what Brother Branham said about it and what's the flow of the picture that Brother Branham paints for us. Now, first of all, Austin, I'm going to use some scripture verses here about the seals. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And that's the opening of the first seal. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. Now, Brother Branham does the same thing that I'm doing right now. He wanted to establish the fact that when that seal was opened, there was noise. Now, noise is certainly not silence.
Right.
I mean, if you got noise, you can't have silence. You can't have noise without somebody or something being present.
Amen.
But there was a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." Amen. Now let's go to verse 3 of chapter 6. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.'" Same thing the first one had said. Now these beasts, they're in Revelations 4:15 it is, and that's where John looked and saw a lion and a calf and a man and a flying eagle. So Revelation chapter 6 verse 5, it opens the third seal. "And when it opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.'" Same thing. "Come and see, come and see, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balance in his hand." Now, we read verses about 1 and 2. We'd have seen that, first of all, there was a white horse. And then there was a red horse. And on the third one, it was a black horse.
Right.
Now, we go on the fourth seal, which is Revelations chapter 6, verse 7. "And when it opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.'" So what should we do on the first four seals? Come and see. That's what John did. And Brother Bram talked about every one of them had noise with it. Now then, we go to the fifth seal, Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God."
Right.
"And for the testimony which they held." Now, there's something interesting happened with this, with Johnny this week. He took those sisters that were from Nigeria, and he took them to Sabino and around, and he took them by the old tabernacle, the Jewish synagogue, and it was late in the evening, after 5 o'clock, and he knocked on the door, and the lady down there that's the caretaker, she was there, and she said, "Who's there?" And he said, "Johnny." So she let him in. And while Johnny was explaining to the sisters about what Brother Brown did and how we started the tabernacle and so forth, well then, what's her name, Johnny?
Eileen.
She joined in and was telling them about the Torah that's there, and they have discovered that the one who wrote that Torah is the same one, the same scribe that wrote the one that's in the Jewish synagogue out here. And they had just discovered that and made that interesting. And it's amazing how Eileen joins in and says things about Brother Branham is there.
Amen.
You know, I really believe there's something happening here. And in 2010, they have asked if we would have a meeting there. In celebration of one of the things that happened in that Jewish synagogue, because it's where Tucson Tabernacle started. But now, the fifth seal. When Johnny was explaining to Eileen about the fifth seal, she wept. See, that's Jewish. That's a Jewish person.
Amen. Right.
And where do they find themselves in the Scriptures?
Yes.
They're their souls under the altar. They're crying. And now, I don't know if you've ever heard anybody comment about it or whether you realize it or not, but how did Brother Branham know who those souls under the altar were? You know, you read it in any commentary almost that's ever been written about it, and those were saints. But Brother Branham said they wasn't. Do you know why he said that? Because he'd been beyond the curtain of time himself, and he had seen the saints already with their white robes. And if you don't catch that in the fifth seal, then you don't. But see, those Jews are waiting. And Eileen's one of those. I don't know, but that just really, I rejoiced in that when Johnny shared that with me this morning. That, you know, here, it's like this Dr. Warnicke that is the surgeon going to operate on me. He wanted to know how come I'd been to Israel 30 times. And I just told him, well, if you want to know what time it is, look at the watch or the calendar and so forth. But if you want to know what time it is with God, you look at Israel. You look at the Jew. And I looked at him, I said, you're not Jewish, are you? He said, no, I'm Christian. I said, fine, we can talk then. And I shared with him what I believe about God's timepiece.
Amen.
And he said, that's interesting. You know, I'm going to invite him to go to Israel with me just like I have Dr. Rogers. Why shouldn't they go? Look, I'm rich enough. Take my own medical staff. The president takes his with him. I'm important enough. And on top of that, I've got the great physician.
Amen.
The one that corrects all their mistakes. The one that makes their sutures work. Brother Branham said the doctor can sew it up, but he can't make it grow back together. But these souls, why were they slain? For the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Do you know, the Jews did not say, I want to go blind. But they were blinded so that you and I. Why were they blinded? Because God said so. Slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, that's through the fifth seal. Now, the sixth seal, Revelation 6 and 12. And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Now, I don't think there's ever been a silent earthquake. The second time I went to Venezuela, there had just been a great earthquake in Caracas. And one of the brothers was up on the roof of his home in Caracas. And he was recording a sermon that Brother Galdona had translated. And he didn't have the wires to connect the two tape recorders together. So he was playing the tape and recording it on a microphone sitting there next to it. And here comes this earthquake. And they had it and they were quite excited about it. We used to have that in our inventory. If we don't, I'll try to get a copy of it from Venezuela, but I'm sure we've got it somewhere. But let me tell you what it sounded like. It sounded like 10,000 Hell's Angels on their Harley Davidson motorcycles. You could hear it off in the background coming like that, and it got louder and louder and louder, and finally just got to where you couldn't hear it, and then it passed on. See, he had the recorder running. He never turned them off. So he caught that sound. Do any of you ever remember hearing that? My wife, isn't that one of them? She's been with me all these years. Please don't forsake me, my darling. How many would like to hear it? How many of you believe it? But a mighty earthquake can I'm telling you that from my personal experience, from my own ears, I heard the noise of that earthquake. I believe there will be noise there. It won't be an earthquake of silence. So all the other seals, Brother Branham said, there was thunder, there was noise, there was earthquakes. But when he come to the seventh, silence. Nothing. Now, there wasn't anybody going around saying, shh, be quiet. Brother Branham said it happened because it was empty. Now, that's such a simple explanation. Who wants to believe it? But I'm going to tell you what. There was some singing and worship and rejoicing going on when people realized this is the day. And we sing, what a day that'll be.
Amen.
I don't think there's going to be any silence when we really get a revelation about the coming of the Lord and we're partaking of it and being a partaker of it. I think that even when he comes and shows himself and we'll be weeping, I don't think we'll be holding those. I think there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth on the other side, but with us, I think even our weeping is going to be heard. Even our rejoicing.
Amen. Yes.
Have you ever sobbed? I've been present in meetings like in Brazil, where the presence of the Lord came down and the people just, they were just in awe about it, and they could not hold their peace. There wasn't anybody screaming with a shrill voice, but just the rejoicing of it, just the happiness that was there. You couldn't only feel it, you could hear it. You know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
So between now in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, and I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And Brother Bram says that between that sixth and seventh seal, there's a gap. There's a space. In fact, the entire seventh chapter of the book of Revelations is there. That's when the 144,000, 12,000 from each nation, and the things that happened. And Brother Bram said that had nothing to do with the Jew. I mean, with the Gentile bride. That was things that was going to happen to the Jewish people. Now, in there was the trumpets and the vials and the plagues and seven angels. And it begins to talk about what happened to each of those angels and so forth. And then at the in there even comes those angels that come along and they're rejoicing about it. But between the sixth and seventh chapter, the 144,000 are there. And then when it gets to Revelations 8:1, we'll read it. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. Now, whether that was a 30-minute period, because back in John's day, we didn't have the 24-hour clock, the 60-second minute, and the 60-minute hour, but one half hour. You know, it's a space of time. Sometimes it talks about, and in that hour, or this is the hour, or this time is upon us. With the Gentiles, it's just a general time, in due season, in time to come, in times past. But with the Jews, he always gives a specific time, in the third day, or 3.5 years, or 1260 days, or he always gives that specific time. But here, about the space of half an hour, and I cannot tell you how long that was. I know that some have figured it out to be 18 years, 1,000 years of the day with the Lord. And it's interesting how they say, well, on this day I got this revelation, on this day this happened. And there's people even now that come along and say, well, and I got a schedule the other day that this part of the bride is going to be raptured on this day next year, and on the next ninth day of a certain month there's going to be another part, and I couldn't find myself in there, so I didn't want to believe it. But as we took, and those of you with the computers assisted me with this, I had three of you do it so that wouldn't have a sloped or slanted thing about it, but I wanted to have what Brother Bram said about the silence in chronological order. And I found it in the Sardis Church Age in 1960 on December. Then we got it in Revelations 4 and 24 elders. Then we got it in Sirs, Is This the Time? Then we had it in God and Simplicity, The Breach, The Second Seal, The Fourth Seal, The Sixth Seal, then Questions and Answers on the Seals, then the Seventh Seal, then Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, then Souls in Prison, and then Feast of the Trumpets. And it's the quotes in that order that I want to present to you tonight, so that you'll read, and maybe we can follow Brother Brown's thinking about it. Maybe we can see his thought pattern developing, or what he said, or the comments he made about it. And there is one thing that that I've noticed, that, you know, Brother Branham talks about the appearing of the Lord and the coming of the Lord. And one of them is he's coming to reveal himself to us and catch us away. And the other one is he's coming back with us. And if you want to be able to separate those two, just remember, one of them he's coming after you, and the other one he's coming with you.
Right.
And that's all. Now, we talk about the coming of the Lord. Well, there's a coming when he's going to come after us, and there's a coming when we're going to come back with him. And if you have trouble distinguishing those two, well, you can find he's coming with his saints in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 17, and he's coming with his saints in 1 Thessalonians 3, 13. But there's signs, fig tree putting forth their buds, and what we read you this morning about the economics of the gold standard and the one world government, and up until last week we thought a lot of proof about global warming, but you know, as that thing has turned out to be a scam, I thought, you know, well, we believers should have known better than that, because it's not going to be that that's going to do it. But there's going to be explosions that's going to go. It's not going to be the ice, the North and South Pole melting, and the ocean level rising is going to wipe us out. It's going to be the heavens are going to be on fire.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
So let's take these now. Now, I've already given you the first four. Maybe we could just refer to them real quickly. The first one's in the Sardis Church Age. It was in 1960 on December the 9th. And Brother Branham said, and Jesus comes from heaven with 10,000 times 10,000 of his saints. And the Bible said that the heavens was empty for the space of a half hour. Now, no place does my Bible say heaven was empty. It says there was silence. It's Brother Branham that said, the Bible said that the heavens was empty for the space of a half hour. Where is this big fella then? And Brother Branham used this to bring out the Godhead. If in him was the Godhead, well, and that was him, well then, where's the other one? Because Jesus said, all power is given unto me. And he said, where is this big fella that you want to make somebody above him? Because if Jesus has all power and he's the second person of the Godhead, then that first one has no power. That's the point Brother Brown was making in his Sardis Church Age. But while he's doing it, subconsciously or deliberately or however he brought it, what did he say? When he comes, there's silence in heaven. That's what the scripture said. But Brother Brown said, because heaven was empty. And as I said, Paul didn't say that. That's Brother Branham saying it. How many of you believe that there was silence because heaven was empty? Well, you know, you can come along with a lot of explanation interpreting the seventh seal, but if you miss that one, you're going to hit the cow eating the grass out of the top of the tree somewhere.
Amen.
But if you let it be what Brother Branham said the first time. Now, the second time he mentioned is Revelation chapter 4. It's chapter 4, part 2, and it's the Revelation chapter 4 and the 24 elders, and it's in the Revelation of Jesus Christ series. This statement wasn't taken over from the Revelation of Jesus Christ series to say like this, end of the church age book, but it was preached in 1961, July the 1st, it's paragraph 289. And this is where Brother Branham's talking about. I hate to come to this, but let's read one more scripture. And he goes to Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. And it's where Daniel sees the Ancient of Ancients come. And Brother Branham said at that time, it was empty. He just saw the Ancient of Ancients. But 2,500 years later, when John saw it, it was full.
Right.
The thrones were full. And that's the only place I know that Brother Branham compares what John saw in heavens with what Daniel saw. And there's 2,500 years difference in it. And this is where we calculated last week for you about the mathematics. And by the way, I made a mistake on it too. According to the people who figure such things, they figure that there's been 12 billion people that has lived on this earth. And we come to that conclusion because they say that one half of the population of humanity that has occupied this earth since its beginning is alive today, and there's 6 billion of us. So that tells me there's been 12 billion people lived from Adam up to now. Okay, then if he sees here, if he sees 10,000 times 10,000, well, that's 100 million, and you divide that into the 12 billion, that's one out of over 120 people that ever lived that he saw there.
Right.
Now, Brother Branham preached one in a million. He preached a sermon on that, talking about the sperm seed from the artificial insemination of the cattle that he saw at Brother Demas Shakarian's dairy farm. But here, according to Daniel, if you take the 12 billion and the 10,000 times 10,000, the 100 million, and you divide that, then that's a ratio of one believer he saw out of every 120 people that have lived on this earth. I'm glad I'm one of them.
Amen. Yes.
And if there's only one, you're looking at him. But I believe there's room for you if you want to go.
Amen.
Come go with me. Now, Brother Bram says, now notice this judgment was set. See? Now watch. Daniel, when he saw the thrones at the judgment, they were empty. He seen thrones cast down, come down from heaven. The Ancient of Time came down from heaven. But when John saw it, the throne was already occupied by Jesus. And the thrones for the disciples and the patriarchs redeemed was already fulfilled. See, Daniel saw it 500 years before the time of Christ, and then after Christ makes 2,500 years. 500 years before Christ, 2,000 after that, makes 2,500. And John was living over in the age that is to come. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and was brought forward to the end time.
Amen.
John saw me.
Yes.
When he said, come here and I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. I was in that number. You need to find yourself in the Bible somewhere, you know. Now, while Daniel didn't see it, see, he just seen Ancient of Time come and he saw him come. But when John saw him, the throne was filled. The thrones was cast down with the Ancient of Time and judgment was set. But when John saw him, the saints had not been, or at the time of John, by the time of Daniel, at the time of Daniel they had not been chosen, but they were already redeemed at the end time.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
Brother Ben said, isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You believe that?
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Now the third time Brother Man mentions it, sirs, is this the time? In Jeffersonville, 1962, December the 30th. It's paragraph, page 43, paragraph 5. And turn over Revelation 6, and I saw the Lamb when it opened one of the seals, and I heard as it was the noise of a great thunder, and one of the four beasts said, come and see. Now, there never was another thunder. And the last seal was open. There was space in heaven for a half hour of silence. But for the first seal was open, there was a blast of thunder. And he says, oh, church, could it be? Are we that far, friends? Think maybe. I hope it isn't, but what if it is? What was that blast? Before God in this open Bible, I lie not. A blast that shook the earth. Now, why is Brother Branham saying this? I can't tell you, but I'll tell you what I think. He's talking about a blast that he had experienced. That shook the earth. John had seen some of these things. And Brother Branham, when he stood up and saw those angels coming here with those things, and when Brother Branham saw those things, that there should have been a blast.
Amen.
Until he got to the seventh one, and then there was silence with him too. And then if these seals that's on the backside would open, would not it be a thunder too? I don't know. I can't say. There was a thunder, the first seal, and the seal was a thunder. The trumpet was opened at that time, and the trumpet was blown at Pentecost. Of course, he said, I won't get into that. But I want you to see that in this surge, is this the time, he believed, and he wanted us to know that in all the other seals, the first six, there was thunders. But in the seventh one, there was nothing. There was silence. Now, he didn't use the word nothing like I just used it. But he says many things that nothing happened. There was nothing else.
Right.
Now, nothing means no thing. Now, next time he refers to it, he's come to Tucson. He's lived out here for a few days. He preached that on December the 30th. And Brother Branham had come to Tucson. He lived here. He'd preached some meetings in Phoenix. And then on March the 17th, he goes back to Jeffersonville. That's 77 days later. Now, I count that up. You can count on that. And he preached a message, God in Simplicity. And he wanted us to see that how these things happened in Abraham's day and in Noah's day. Would we have gotten a boat? Would we have recognized the angels with Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah? Or would we have recognized John the Baptist if we'd have been there? Would we have recognized Jesus, the Son of God? Or would we say, well, my church don't teach that way? Brother Branham is trying to get us to get out of our ruts, a grave with both ends knocked out of it.
Yeah.
And that's what a rut is. You get in there and you can't get out of it because, no, that's not the way I always understood it. But Brother Branham is trying to get us to see, well, you know, if we lived in Noah's day, would we have believed this one old man?
Right.
Or would we have followed the religious leaders in our denominations?
Think about it.
But then when Brother Branham started preaching God in Simplicity, and he said, and now, before we dedicate a dedicational prayer, read some scriptures and dedicate the church back to God, and then I have a message on evangelism this morning to build into my message coming up. And tonight I want to take the fifth chapter of Revelation. Now that's the breach, which is blending in from the seven church ages to the seven seals.
Amen.
Then we'll have Monday night will be the white horse rider. Tuesday night, the black horse rider, and on down. The four horse riders, and then the sixth seal being opened. And then Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, if the Lord willing, we'll see later, announce it later. Maybe next Sunday morning have a prayer meeting for the sick in the building. And then Sunday night, close off with, may the Lord help us to open the seventh seal, where there's just a short verse, and it says this, there was silence in heaven for a half hour.
Yes.
By that silence. Now, I don't know what these seals mean. I am just as much at the end of my wits to them as perhaps some of you are this morning. We have ecclesiastical ideas that have been presented by man, but that will never touch it. And if you'll see, it has to come by inspiration. It must be. God himself is the only one who can do it, the Lamb. And tonight is that book of redemption.
Amen. Yes.
And what Johnny talked about a while ago, the breach. The lion came down and took the book of redemption. He had a right to it.
Amen.
And John saw that lamb because there's nobody else worthy. But when he turned to look at him, he didn't see a lion. He saw a bloody lamb.
Yes. Amen.
And folks, if you haven't heard Brother Branham bring that message, you need to hear him say that.
Yes.
Because I cannot say it with the urgency and the compassion that he says it. And he doesn't just say it once, he repeats it. But because he wants you to get a picture that Jesus Christ paid for it. He said, you shouldn't repent of your sins because you realize you're a sinner and you're no good so-and-so.
Right.
You should repent and cry out for mercy because you see the love that Jesus Christ had for you.
Yes.
And the suffering that he gave for you.
Right.
When you realize such love,
amen,
that he had for us. We know we're no good. But to see how much he loved us.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Brother Bram said, I ought to make you just get off in the corner somewhere and kneel down and cry.
Amen.
I want to ask you folks, are we, as Brother Aaron said, are we at that place?
Amen.
Do you realize what he did for us? The price he paid? We sang that song, he paid a debt. We owed a debt. He paid it. He didn't know it. Now we sing, oh, we think about the good. But listen, folks, do you know the reason he suffered so? Because he loved us. That ought to be enough to make us say, blessed be the name of our Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord, of all praise and honor and glory. And may all majesty be yours, Lord. For when I was unlovable, you loved me. Now that's where Brother Branham introduced it in God in Simplicity. Now, I don't know what these seals mean. He said that, but he said, tonight is that book of redemption. See, he's on Sunday morning talking about God in Simplicity. But he said, tonight we'll talk about the book of redemption. And that's in the sermon, The Breach. Now, we'll go to that now, The Breach. That night he's preaching, March the 17th in the evening, 1963. Now, remember, he'd been on his mediatorial work back there. But remember, these seals are ready to be opened. And the Lamb came from the sanctuary of God, advanced forward, and wait till we get over there at that 1 hour. Take that 1.5 hour that is silent. The sanctuary is smoking. There's no more intercession. The sacrifice is left. It's a judgment seat. There's no blood on it no more, for the blood covered it. For the blood-covered Lamb has walked away. Don't you wait till that time. Remember in the Old Testament, as long as the blood was off the mercy seat, it was judgment. But as long as the blood was on there, there was mercy.
Yes.
But when the Lamb walked away, that did it. Where's he been? He's been an intercessor. No other person. Tell me where Mary could make intercessions then. What could Mary offer? What could St. Francis or St. Asia or any St. Cecilia, rather, or any other human being? John never saw 1,000 saints come out from the mediatorial, he saw a lamb.
Yes.
A lamb that had been slain, bloody. I don't care how many saints have been slain. They were all do it, every one of them. They deserve to die themselves.
Yes.
Like the thief said at the cross, we've sinned and we'll do this, but this man's done nothing.
Right.
Now, the next quote is in The Breach, 1963, March the 17th. The same night that Brother Branham just said this, but it begins with paragraph 208, and there's 8 or 10 paragraphs here, and I want Brother Branham to say it for you. Now watch.
Here come a lamb, still bloody. John, there wasn't nothing there. All the celebrity was standing around, but there was none of them could do it. So here come the Lamb now. His intercessory days is over. The mediatorial days, that's when this angel's going to stand there. You wait till you get the seals, and time shall be no more.
Amen.
That's right. That half hour of silence. Watch what takes place in that half hour of silence. When that seventh seal next Sunday night.
See?
Lord,
always buddy, referring to it.
He comes forth. What? To take his claims now. Oh, my.
Yes.
Comes forth to take his claims. Now, he had done the kinsman work. He'd come down, become man, died. He'd done the kinsman work of redemption, but had not as yet called for his claim. Now he comes on the scene to claim his rights. Watch what takes place. Oh, my. For which he was slain. For as becoming a kinsman to man to die in his place to redeem him, but the elder was right when he said he was a lion. See? The elder called him and said a lion because he had been a lamb, an intercessor, a bloody lamb. But now he's coming forth as a lion.
Amen.
His days of intercession's over. Let him that's filthy be filthy still.
Amen.
Let him that's righteous be righteous still.
Amen.
Let him that's holy be holy still. The thing is closed. Oh, bruh. Then what? Then what? And remember, it comes at the seventh church age.
Amen.
When the mysteries of God will be opened up. Now, what's real close? This is something you must get.
You must get.
Now, he had been doing his mediatorial work, making intercessions for the believer. For 2,000 years, he had been back there a lamb. Now, he is stepping forth from eternity to take the title deeded book and to break the seals and reveal the mysteries.
Amen.
What of it? At the end time. Do you
That's
get it?
Our day.
All right, go on. Now, break the seals and release all the mysteries to them, to the seventh angel, whose message is to reveal all the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God lays in these seven seals. See? That's what he said here. All the mysteries lays in these seven seals. And the Lamb comes forth now from being a mediator between God and man. He becomes a lion. And when he becomes a lion, he takes the book. That's his rights. God's held it, the mystery. But now the Lamb comes. Nobody could take the book. It's still in the hands of God. No pope, priest, whatever it might be. They can't take the book. The seven seals hasn't been revealed. See? But when the meteor, when his work is done as an intercessor, he comes forth, and John, the elder, said he's alive. And he comes forth. Watch him. See? He comes forth to take the book. Now watch. To reveal the mysteries of God that others has guessed at in all these denominational ages. See then, the seventh angel, if this book, Mysteries, is the Word of God, the seventh angel has to be a prophet for the Word of God to come to.
Amen.
No priests, popes, or anything else can get it.
Amen.
The Word don't come to such.
Amen.
The Word of God comes only to a prophet.
Amen.
Always.
Amen.
Malachi 4 promised such.
Yeah.
And when he come forth, he'd take the mysteries of God, where the church had got all scrupled up, all these denominations, and restore the faith of the children back to the fathers.
Amen.
And then the world judgment would strike, and the earth would be burned. And then the righteous would walk out upon the ashes of the wicked in the millennium. You understand it now?
Amen.
All right.
You understand it now?
Amen.
Well, now, Brother Branham put Malachi 4 and Revelation 19 together. Malachi 4 is to bring these things, and what? It's to be when he comes back to set up his millennial kingdom.
Amen.
He establishes the fact that this happens in the seventh church age, the end time, and that's the day you and I live in. These last 50 or 60 years has been the most important time for that book of redemption known to man.
Yes.
Now, we're still in the breach. It's on March the 17th, 1963, but we go to paragraph 290. Now watch. And when he... You're on it on the bottom. When he done that, watch what taken place. You talk about a jubilee. Now this is exactly the breaking of them seals take place. We'll get in that half hour of silence. Brother Bram's always during the seals, even in the simplicity, even in the breach. What's he pointing to? The silence.
Right.
The silence. He gave us a brief outline of first, second, third, fourth, fifth seal, sixth seal, there in assembly. But look here, in every one of them, He points it. We'll get in that half hour of silence just after this. Watch this. And we started in, and we finish this up next Sunday night, right here. And listen close now. Are you ready? Say amen. Listen close. What took place? All right? Then that was on Sunday night. Then on Monday night, he preached the first seal. On Tuesday night, he preached the second seal. It's on the 19th of March. It's tape number 63-03-19 and paragraph 23. He said, and now I want you to watch now these fellas on this pale horse. Maybe here it comes. That's the first seal. Just keeps changing. It goes on down. And then that great last seal to be opened, if God willing, next Sunday night, jump plumb ahead again. That when it happened, there was just the only thing that taken place was silence in heaven.
Right.
For a half hour. God help us now. God help us. Now I'll read the third verse now. And when it opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse. Fourth verse. That was red. And power was given to him that set their own to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. They should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. All right. Then on the next night, Wednesday night, he preached the third seal. No mention. On Thursday night, he preached the fourth seal. On the 21st of March, 1963, and his paragraph 374. Now, just in closing, he preached the whole thing, and here is the end of the sermon. I want to say these couple, just a few words right here. I just wrote down. We've skipped about on these four seals. Remember, first seal said this, second seal, third seal, fourth. We've skipped about this, these first ones. But now, tomorrow night, we change the scene from the earth things going on. He looks up here and sees the souls under the altar. The first four was things that was happening on earth. The white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the pale horse. That's all to the church, the Gentiles. But then what's the next one? We're going right here. He looks up here and sees the souls under the altar, the sacrifice altar. The next night, the judgment strikes. And the fourth night, the last night, Sunday night, I don't know what. I don't know what these others mean. I just read them like you did. But there's silence for a half hour. But there's something took place. I'm expecting him to reveal it. He will do it. I'm satisfied he will. We had to go different places of the scripture to Revelation 19 to show the coming of Christ will slay the Antichrist. That's the reason I had to leave these. Just take these two verses. I had to go to different places of the scripture to prove these things. So that's the reason I went to Revelation 19 to show the end of Antichrist will be the slaying of Christ when he comes. He will slay the Antichrist of Christ when he comes, when he comes, when he comes, when? Revelation 19.
Yes.
Now then, we go to that's the fourth seal. He skips him on the fifth seal. And here comes the sixth seal on Saturday night, March the 23rd, 1963, paragraph 109. Now look how close. Why couldn't this be before? Because it hadn't happened before. Now you can see it, you see? See the great Holy Spirit, seeing these things coming down through the ages and times, and now it's being revealed. And then you look there and see that's the truth. There's where it's at. Now, it was the martyrs in the tribulation of the pre-tribulation of Eichmann.
Yeah, right.
Well, now Brother Branham comes and he brings some events that have already happened.
Yes, amen.
Into this time of persecution.
Sure.
Of the sixth seal.
Right.
Now, it was the martyrs in the tribulation of the pre-tribulation of Eichmann. Now, the only type the martyrs of the 144,000, which was entering into between the sixth and seventh seal. See? And the seventh seal is just one thing. That's all. And this, it was silence in heaven for a space of a half hour. Where does he say anything else?
Amen.
You know, if Brother Branham had added anything to it, he'd have been accursed, wouldn't he? And now only God can reveal that. It's not even symbolized nowhere. Well, then, when somebody comes up with a type or a symbol and says, this is it, what do they do with this statement of Brother Branham's? He says, it's not symbolized anywhere. Let me tell you, folks, there wasn't nobody at home that night. Now, that's tomorrow night. This was Saturday night, and he's talking about Sunday night. Now, pray for me, see? Okay, then we go to the sixth seal. Or we're still in the sixth seal. It's 32363. It's paragraph 189 on the sixth seal. Now, I want you to notice, Jesus, now about tomorrow night on this, Jesus omitted the teaching of the seventh seal. It's not here. Watch, he goes right on with parables now after that. And John omitted the seventh seal. The seventh seal. Now, you see, here's something I want you people to know. I can't change anybody else's mind. But when Brother Branham talks about the seven seals have been revealed, he's talking about in general. But when he speaks of specifically the seventh, there's a difference in the word the seven seals and the seventh seal. He goes right on with parables now after that, and John omitted the seventh seal. The seventh seal. That's going to be a great thing. It's not even written. See, omitted the seventh seal. Both of them did. Who's he talking about? Jesus and John. And the Revelator, when God just said there was, John said there's just silence in heaven. Jesus never said a word about it. Notice now, back into the 12th verse, notice no beast. No noise, no thunder, just silence. That's the 12th verse starting off on our seal to see it open. No beast like living creatures was represented here either, like it was on the 5th seal. Why? This happened the other side of the gospel age in the tribulation period. Paragraph 190. The 6th seal is the tribulation period. Amen. That's what takes place. The bride has gone.
Yes.
There's no living creature, nothing there to say it. It just, now God is not dealing with the church no more. It's been gone. He's dealing with Israel, see? This is the other side. This is when Israel receives the message of the kingdom by the two prophets of Revelation 11.
Amen.
Now I have a question in my own mind that comes up here. You know, we talk about Jesus coming back to this earth in a corporal body. And not setting foot on this earth until he comes back to set up the millennial kingdom. But sometime during this, he's going to reveal himself to his brethren.
Yes, sir. Yes. Right.
And he's going to show them his hands.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know how, but the scripture says he is.
Amen.
Now maybe he won't set foot on this earth, but at some time or another during this time, the scripture in Zechariah is going to come to pass. Where'd you get them scars?
Yeah.
From the house of my friends.
Yes.
And everyone's going to separate to their own house, and they're going to weep and wail and mourn and repent.
Yes.
Why didn't we see him? Why didn't we know him as the Messiah? And it's going to be a time of revival for them.
Amen.
But now, the bride's not going to be here. So if you're bride and you want to go to Israel to see the Lord and be there when he reveals himself to the Jews, you're wasting your time.
Amen. That's right.
You'll be caught away from that place.
Amen.
This is when Israel receives the message of the kingdom by the two prophets of Revelation 11. And folks, I shall be honest with you. I cannot put it in chronological order and tell you this and this and this. And I don't think anybody else can. I think I'm partially as intelligent as most people are. And I think I've read Brother Branham's message and heard him speak about it and discuss some of these things with him personally. I'll tell you now, most of the brothers who have the full revelation and understanding of this, and they won't tell you this, they'll tell you they've got the new name of God. And when they do that with me, I say, well, what do you think about it? And when they start explaining to me what they think the new name of God is, what they believe it is, and what they want people to believe, then it's contrary to what Brother Branham told me, and he made me promise I wouldn't preach. And you know, by God's grace, it's been a miracle I have not betrayed that. Because I got a reputation for telling everything I know. And some things I don't know. But when somebody comes along and starts telling me something about the new name of God is supposed to be a revelation above anything I've got, and is contrary to what Brother Branham told me personally about it, you know, I just take comfort in it, you know. If I can't, I say, you're my brother, but I can't agree with that. You know, I say, just wait a minute. God, if God wants you to know that new name, he's going to let you know it. Sure. It's not going to have to come through somebody else's revelation. That's I better be careful. This is when Israel received the message of the kingdom by the two prophets of Revelation 11. Remember, Israel is a nation, God's servant nation. And when Israel is brought in, it'll be a national affair. Israel, the kingdom age, is where David, the son of David, sits on the throne. And that's going to be a point of clarification with us. Because whenever they translate or they print a book and they've got that he is the son of David now, meaning like today, that puts us in the millennium. And I say they got something wrong somewhere. They got the period after N-O-W instead of before N-O-W. Brother Brown will be talking about he is the son of David. Now remember, or now let's look at, and that word now doesn't go at the end of the sentence, it goes at the beginning of the next paragraph.
Amen.
And I say a person that does that and calls themselves an editor of Brother Brown's message does not have any understanding at all of Brother Brown's teachings. Because he says that he will be the son of David during the millennium.
Amen.
And folks, we're not in the millennium. If we are, I'm really disappointed. Because Satan is supposed to be bound. And if he's bound now, I sure don't want to be here when he turned loose. And neither do you. Now, I know that sounds maybe vindictive. That sounds harsh or foolish, but you know, somebody has to say it.
Amen.
The way I feel about it, because there's some of these people, they'll just say anything and not have to pay for it. And you know, I notice a lot of people that do that, they're not pastors, they're not a preacher, but you see, everything that we ministers, we pastors say, we get judged on it by you people. But there's a lot of teachers and revelated people going around that they don't have to be held accountable for what they teach people.
Right.
They can come to your home or you know, publish something, print it, and they're not called to judgment about it. When Brother Branham talked about, if you get something from the Lord, you're to bring it to the church and let the elders look at it.
Yeah, right.
And if you're not willing to be judged and by the brethren, then what's wrong with you? You self-righteous?
Yeah. Amen.
You're right and everybody else is wrong? You know, that's something I've learned from these prophets that I go around. Those brothers love one another. They have confidence in one another. They have a dream or a vision or an understanding about something. They'll sit down in a room together and tell each other. And I've been there when they said, now, brother, you won't, and they discuss it and nobody gets their feelings hurt. Well, if you're not going to say, well, I'm not going to talk to you, you know. That's us message, brothers.
Yeah.
But not them. And we're the ones who're supposed to have the revelation.
Yeah.
You know, last year they came here. I didn't even get to go to their meeting, but they came here and we called on one of them. And what did Brother Paul Keith Davis say when he came up here? He talked to us as Tucson Tabernacle. He says that we've been listening to Brother Branham's messages. And what we ask you people to do is be patient with us while we have an opportunity to hear all that you have heard.
Right.
Well, do they believe the message? What do they know about the message? Have they been baptized? They believe this? No, they don't. But you know what? They're teachable. They're willing to learn. They're willing to listen. They're willing to share.
Yes.
No, sir. We got the truth. I get asked that all the time. I'll be talking to somebody testifying, well, so and so. Well, do they believe the message? Are they following the message? Where do they go to church? Well, if I told them I went to Tucson Tabernacle, that sure put them out. But folks, there's something wrong with us.
That's right.
That's the reason I started this 6-7 years ago. Let's go back and look at what the prophet of God said and see where we got something out of place. Because to tell you the truth, folks, we ought to be a powerful bunch of people. We should have a character that God can trust and have enough confidence in us that we could speak the word. Israel, the kingdom age, is where David, the son of David, sits on the throne. There's going to be a day when he sits on that throne. Okay. Now we go to Sunday morning, questions and answers. This is March the 24th in the morning, on the seals. And he was supposed to have been on the seals, but boy, they asked him questions about everything, didn't they?
Yeah. True.
Some were so off base and non-topic, Brother Branham was almost embarrassed to have to try to answer them. Paragraph 60. But now, did you see how perfectly they parallel? Now, don't forget that. They parallel down to the sixth and stop. He's answering the question there because how the church ages and the seals run together. See, and watch. Watch the opening of the seals that comes down to the sixth and stops. Just silence in heaven. That's all it says for the space of half hour. Now, how many times did Brother Branham say this from God in simplicity up to this time? It's about 11 times. He keeps referring to that half hour silence, that half hour silence. For the space of a half hour. Now, in these, see, I have to hurry up and answer these because, see, each one of them is a sermon 4 weeks long, you see. And on each one, you can just get off on something else, but I don't mean to do that because I want to get everybody's question as far as I can. Then, it's Sunday night. It's the last night. It's the seventh seal. It dates March the 24th, 1963, and on paragraph 51. Now, we find out that also with the Lord, let us take the scripture, the Holy Scripture, what Jesus said would take place. And how would we have ever found that? And here it comes over and reveals and brings it just exactly. His sermon there, answering that, brings out exactly to the point. Six of the seals, but he omitted the seventh. Then when the seals were open, God, notice here, he omitted revealing even any symbol of the seventh. See, it's a perfect secret with God. Notice now we're going to read in the Bible in the seventh seal that's found in Revelation, the 8th chapter. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. And that's all we have on it. Now, you know, Brother Brown makes that statement the first day. So after he preached seals 1 through 4 dealing with the horses, seals 5 and 6 dealing with the Jews, he'd gone back and compared them to the church ages. He brought all the doctrine. He brought all the parables. He comes along and he said, that's all we have on it.
Yeah.
And continuing on the seventh seal, on paragraph, what's the next paragraph? Paragraph 236. And now he's going to do it. That's what we don't know, isn't it? We don't know. It's even the time for all these things. And the ushering in of the millennium. Now, he's already identified that as Revelation 19.
Yes.
Notice, the breaking of this seal was so great that heaven was hushed by it in silence for the space of a half hour.
Amen.
Now, is it great? What is it? It was hushed. Uses a different word. Silent, empty, hushed. Heaven. There wasn't a thing moved That means stillness for a half hour. Now, half hour might not be long if you're having a good time. But in the suspense of between death and life, it seemed like a millennium.
Yeah.
It was so great. Jesus never mentioned it. None of the rest of them. John couldn't even write of it. No, he was forbidden to write here. See, he didn't write. But it's just as silence. Paragraph 241. And the 24 elders that stood before God, they're harping with their harps. They quit playing their harps. No music. The angels hushed their singing in heaven. No choir. Think, the holy cherubims and cherubims that Isaiah saw in the temple with six sets or three sets of wings, three on, two over their face and two over his feet and flying. And he's day and night there before God saying, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And even when they walked in or come into the temple, the post of the temple moved with their presence. That's what happened when he dedicated. And those holy cherubims hushed up. Angels quit singing. Brother Brown says, flying in the presence of God singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And how long had they been doing it? They shut up. No angels singing, no praises, no altar service, no nothing. There was silence. Hush. Deadly silence.
Yes.
How is deadly silence? That's really quiet, isn't it? Deadly silence in heaven for a half hour. All the host of heaven was silent for this half hour. When this seventh seal mystery in the book of redemption was broke open. Think of it. But it's broke. The Lamb breaks it. You know what? They were awed by it, I believe.
Yeah.
First time I ever heard this, I thought of a childhood experience I had one time in Maryville, Louisiana, is about the seventh grade, so I must have been about 12 or 13. There was a bunch of blackbirds, a flock of them in a tree in the backyard, and boy, they was making all, and I stepped down the back door and hollered, "Hey!" And Tucson Tabernacle don't do that, because right out here last Wednesday night, I wanted to get everybody's attention. I hollered, "Hey!" And everybody just kept chirping. Even my voice didn't awe you. They were awed. Now, none of us know. Now, Brother Branham said, none of us know. That includes Brother Branham in that period right there then, that moment, on that day in 1963. Brother Branham said, none of us know. But I'm going to tell you in my con. What do you think he started to say there, con? Was it conviction or confidence? He said, my revelation of it. I'm going to tell you my revelation of it. And now, I'm not prone to be a fanatic. If I am, I'm ignorant of it. I am. I'm not given away to such lyrilless or carry-ons and imaginary things. I've said some things might be kind of strange to some people. But when God comes around behind it and vindicates it and says it's the truth, then that's God's word.
Amen.
It may seem strange that way, see. And now, as certain as I stand on this platform tonight, I had the revelation that revealed. Now, Brother Branham knows something. Remember, he said, I'm going to tell you my revelation. I had the revelation that revealed. It's in a threefold manner. That I will speak to you by God's help of a fold of it. And then you, let's go over there first. Here's the revelation to begin what? I want to tell you what it is. What happens is that those seven thunders, that he had heard thunder and was forbidden to write, that's what the mystery is laying behind these seven consecutive thunders rolling out. Now when... Let's prove it. Why? It is the secret that no one knows about. John was forbidding to write about it. I believe that's forbidden. Even write a symbol about it. Why? This is why there was no activity in heaven. It might give away the secret.
Right.
Do you see it now?
Amen.
If it's so great, it must be included because it's got to happen. But when the seven thunders, now notice, when the seven angels come forth to sound their trumpets, there was one thunder. When Israel was gathered, there was a trumpet. When time shall be no more, the last trumpet. One thunder, but here is seven straight thunders right in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That perfect number. Seven thunders in a row. Utter not. Making just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight. Then heavens couldn't write that. Heavens couldn't know about it. Nothing else, because there's nothing to go on. It's a relaxing time. It was so great till it's kept secret from the angels.
Yes.
Now, what's he told? So far, his revelation is that it is so secret that it's kept from the angels. He didn't tell us what it meant. He just says it's so great that nobody knows. This is the reason there's silence, is because nobody can know.
Right. Amen.
Now, does everybody understand that way? He said, I'll tell you what I think. This is my revelation. But he didn't tell us what. He said, I think it is so great that God couldn't do it because they're not supposed to know.
Amen.
He still didn't tell me what it was. He just told me why there was silence. There's one thing he don't know. If Satan could get a hold of it, he might do great damage. Now, he can interpret anything he wants to. An impersonation in any kind of a gift. I hope you're learning. But he can't know this. It's not even written in the Word.
Amen.
It's a total secret. The angels, everything shut up. If they made one move, it might give something away. So they just shut up. They quit harping. Everything stopped. Paragraph 255, 7. God's perfect number. 7. Brother Branham knocked 6 times on the pulpit. I didn't count them, but the editor thought it important was to know he knocked 6 times. Just right down the row, 7 thunders uttered straight together like they're spelling out something. Notice, at that time, John started to write, and he said, don't write it. Jesus never spoke of it. John couldn't write it. Angels know nothing about it. Now, when Brother Branham makes a statement later, he said, we'll find where that is written. Well, how can you find that is written that wasn't even written?
Amen.
So he must be talking about something else. Brother Branham's talking about there's a promise that we'll have where we'll have help when we need it.
Yes.
Jesus never spoke of it. John couldn't write it. Angels know nothing about it. What is it? It's the thing that Jesus said even the angels of heaven didn't know nothing about it.
Amen.
See, he didn't know it himself. Said only God would know it. But he told us, when we begin to see these signs coming up. Now, you getting somewhere? All right, notice, we can see these signs coming up. See, if Satan could get a hold of it, he said, if you want something to happen now, you'll have to take my word for this. If I'm planning on doing something, I know better than to tell anybody about it. Not that person will tell it, but Satan will hear it. And you know, the devil don't know anything till you tell him.
Amen.
He can't read a fortune. He don't know your mind. He don't know the secrets of your heart. It's when you start gossiping and telling everybody about it that Satan hears it.
Right. Yes.
God's got it closed up with the Holy Spirit. So it's between me and God. He don't know nothing about it until you speak it. Ooh, watch our word.
Yes, right.
Then he hears it. And I'll try. I'll do a certain thing and watch the devil cut off every wheel he can get to get there. See? To beat me to it. But if I can get the revelation from God and just don't say nothing about it, then it's different. Remember, Satan will try to impersonate. He will try to impersonate everything that the church will do. He's tried to do it. We've noticed it through the Antichrist. But this is one thing he cannot impersonate.
Amen.
There'll be no mimics to this because he don't know it. There's no way for him to know it.
Amen.
It's the third pull.
Amen.
He just knows nothing about it. See, he doesn't understand it.
Amen.
Now, I mentioned this morning, Brother Branham had two things that he didn't explain. That was the tent vision and the third pull. And he said, nobody can go there. Nobody will know that. I'll take the secret of this to my grave. But how many people have I heard explain the third pull?
Amen.
He just knows nothing about it, see? He doesn't understand it. What is the next one? What? The seventh seal is paragraph 299. And just then he picked me up and he took me up and set me way up high to where a meeting was going on. Here Brother Bram is talking about his tent vision. Looked like a tent or a cathedral of some sort. Now, a tent, but I've heard very few preachers call it a cathedral. I don't know anybody else that Brother Branham drew a picture of it but me. It don't look like a tent. Looks more like a big airplane hangar. A Quonsi hut. Massive building. Looks more like some of these stadiums we got now. They've got roofs on them. You know, in Brother Branham's day, they wasn't in existence. When I saw that tent that Brother Reinhard Bunke had designed over there in South Africa, I had to be honest with the man. That's the first thing I ever saw that reminded me of the drawing Brother Branham made for me on a napkin. I tell you, that tent that he bought and had over there in Germany, it took 18 wheelers to haul the canvas on it. You had to have binoculars to see from this end of it to that end. You saw that, Johnny? He never had a meeting in it. He had it up. A wind from the South Pole came. Down there, their winds come from the south and caught it, and on the cables, it just ripped it to shreds. And he had a meeting in it, and he had so many Muslims in Cape Town that the Christians couldn't even get to the meeting. Had a 500,000 of them. You know, you don't have to advertise anything like that. You put it up. Yeah. And I said, hey, what's going on here? I thought of that this week when I spent some time down at the church. You know, before we got the nice wall out there and everything, after Sunday service, we'd all go outside, and 300 or 400 of us would be standing outside visiting because we loved one another. We stood around and fellowshipped, and we poured this concrete over here to where the people could come stand in the shade and all, and all 300 or 400 of us would get outside, and the people coming by out there, they say, hey, what kind of, and a crowd attracts a crowd. I know that the Maxwell family, they saw that, hey, what is that? And that's the reason they come to the church here. But oh, now you're in an air-conditioned room. We don't even pause, shake hands with each other out there, much less a stranger. I heard Brother Brown talk about on this. He said, now be sure you shake hands with everybody now before they get out of the building.
Amen.
Try that in church order. He wasn't talking about celebrating a party, but I tell you what, you got a stranger sitting next to you and you just, I'm gonna touch you. I wouldn't touch you either. I wouldn't come back and worship with you either. And then we wonder, how come we don't have any new people coming in?
Yes, sir. Right.
Solomon said, he that hath friends must show himself friendly.
Amen.
How long has it been since you invited somebody to come to church?
How
long has it been since you told somebody that you believe God sent a prophet?
Amen.
How long has it been since you told them about a miracle that you knew happened?
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you what, folks, when I do, it's great victory.
Amen.
Hey, Brother Green's not the only one that had the joy of the Lord in his heart when those things happened. God's done something for you.
Amen.
And if you haven't had an experience with God that you can recommend to somebody else, you need to have one.
Right. Yes.
You need to say, I was there. I was convicted. God changed my life.
Yes.
I can take you to the place. I can show you where it is.
Amen.
Now, if you haven't had that experience, you can't talk about it.
Yep.
Brother Branham looked at the tent and he said, now I looked like a tent or a cathedral of some sort, and I looked at, there was a little box-like, a little place over on the side, and I seen that light was talking to somebody above me, that light that you see there on the picture, it whirled away from me like that and went over to that tent and said, I'll meet you in there, and said, this will be the third pull and you won't tell it to nobody. And in Sabino Canyon, he said, this is the third pull. And there's three great things that goes with it. And one unfolded today or yesterday, and the other one unfolded today, and there's one thing that I cannot interpret because it's in an unknown language. But I was standing right there and looked right straight at it, and this is the third pull coming up. And the Holy Spirit of God, oh my, that's the reason all heaven was silent. Brother Branham, you wait so long to tell us. What a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
And I believe, folks, that eyes not seen, ears not heard. But there should be things happening among us right now that people would stand in awe.
Yes.
And say, who is this God? Who is this prophet that you believe? A prophet of what God? What did the Lord Jesus Christ do? What do you people have that I don't have at my church?
Right.
Now then, theirs are just like ours. When Brother Tommy Osborne went to India, and he was challenged by the Hindus and the Jains and the Shiites over there, and he said, well, we have miracles. What do you do? You say Jesus Christ the same yesterday, or he's a human miracle. Well, hey, we have miracles happen too. And Brother Tommy Osborne came back to America defeated. He couldn't match that. He went to see Brother Branham. He had seen Brother Branham speak to the evil spirits, the deaf and dumb child, the paralyzed person, the cancers fall off. And he went to see Brother Branham. Brother Bill, what is it? And that Spirit of God spoke to him and said, you can do that.
Yes.
You can do that. And Brother Tommy Osborne said, God said I could do that. And Brother Branham prayed for him and said, Tommy, you can do that. This is for all believers.
Amen. Yes.
But try that today. Oh, you're a false anointed one. See what trick the devil's played on us?
Yes, sir. Amen.
We had people come here that preached divine healing, laid hands on them, and I got letters that said, why don't you have this Catholic nun that prays for the sick? Why don't you have them come pray for the people in your church? Message people.
Yeah.
Claiming to be followers of Brother Branham. Well, look, I cut through that and say, listen, all healing is of God.
Amen.
I don't care if it's a witch doctor prays for you.
That's right. Amen.
But what about one that don't even have enough faith to pray for you? You should have more confidence in the witch doctor than the one who will bring nothing but doubt and skepticism and criticism. Oh, but they're revelated. They believe a prophet. There's a tent. There's a third pull. And they can tell you what they think it means. But where is the proof? Where's the evidence? And all I'm doing is being honest enough to say, folks, we're living below our privileges.
Amen.
And I think it's time, as Brother Aaron said this morning, we do some checking up. We get somewhere or another and find out, God, what is this?
Yes.
God, we believe this is the Word. It's there. It's available to us. We're members of this bride. We're redeemed. We're pure. Not what the world says we are, not what we think we are, but what does this Word say we are?
Amen.
Sons of God, march forward.
Amen.
In the power of Jesus' name. We have the power.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Then Brother Bram said, I'd better stop right here. I just feel checked not to say no more about it. So just remember the seventh seal, the reason it was not opened. Now, up until that point, Brother Bram is still saying the reason it was not opened, but if I say it wasn't opened, then he don't believe the seals. The reason it did not reveal it, no one should know about it. And I want you to know, before I even know any word about that vision come years ago. You remember that? And here it is, just as this other had. Slides right straight into the Word, exactly where it was. And God knows my heart. I never one time thought of such a thing as that. And here it was. It's later than we think.
Yes.
Oh my, just shows it's from God. It fits exactly in the promise of God from the end of the message. You notice now, for the end of time message, this seal. After all, he's revealed all the six seals, but it didn't say nothing about the seventh. That's twice in two paragraphs. And the end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret, according to the Bible.
Yes.
Before knowing that, and remember Revelation 10, 1, 7, chapter 10, verse 1, 7, at the end of the seventh angel's message, all the mysteries of God would be known. We're at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal. Now that was the conclusion. Now what Brother Branham did is he held that tape. He came back 2 days later, went into a motel room, took all the last 15 or 16 minutes, and then made some comments, and I've read you something from both of them. But then Brother Branham, through the years as he continued on, like Christ, the mystery of God revealed, in July the 28th, 1963, and I got four more quotes. They're briefer ones than this one is. And it starts with paragraph 1, Christ is a mystery. You got it 105, but okay, I see. Now, God had a purpose and a hidden mystery. And that's what I want to speak on to the church this morning. The hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began. And how it has unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living. Then you will understand clearly, then you see, I believe, what is being done. God's great mystery of how it's a secret. He kept it a secret. Nobody knew nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand it. He didn't reveal it. That's the reason. Under our seventh mystery, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence. Jesus, when he was on earth, they wanted to know when he would come. He said, it's not even the Son himself don't know when it's going to happen. See, God has this all to himself. It's a secret. And that's the reason there was silence in heaven for a space of a half hour. And seven thunders uttered their voices, and John was even forbidden to write it. See, the coming of the Lord.
Yes.
That's one thing he hasn't revealed yet.
Amen.
Oh, how he will come. Of how he will come and when he will come. It's a great thing that he doesn't. No. He has showed or revealed it in every type that's in the Bible. Therefore, the entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had. One purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. And all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type and expressing what God's great goal is. And now on this last day, he has revealed it and shows it. And God's help, will you see it right here this morning, what the Lord has had in his mind all along and has expressed it. Therefore, you can see the great meaning of what it's been to know this and then try to bring it to the people, and then you don't. I haven't went into details to try to explain it as God has revealed it to me.
Amen.
Then souls in prison, 63, 11, 10, that's November. What day are we living? Where are we at? Paragraph 136. And remember, in that sixth seal, where all seven trumpets sounds under that sixth seal, when we get to that, you'll see that every seven trumpet took place in that sixth seal. That means all the trumpets took place under the sixth seal. Paragraph 137, the seven is always the mystery. Watch that seven, that's the finish. That was the coming of the Lord. Heaven was quiet, silent, nobody moved, because Jesus said himself, not even an angel of heaven knows when I will return. I don't even know it myself, what time. The Father has put that in his mind. God alone knows it. The Spirit said, I didn't know it. Then it wasn't revealed when that seventh trumpet sounded. Or the seventh angel, a seal was opened. Then there was silence in the heavens. See, it wasn't give way what would take place. But under the sixth seal were these trumpets opened. Remember, under there we find out that the Lamb come forth, appeared on the scene. He had left the mercy seat. His work of redemption was finished. And he came forth and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And time was no more. And immediately an angel appeared in the seventh chapter, or the tenth chapter, and the seventh verse, saying, this angel came down and swore that time was no longer. But you see, in this book was what was redeemed. It was the book of redemption. And everything that he had redeemed was written in that book. All that he died for was written in that book, in the book. And he could not leave his mediatorial seat until he had thoroughly redeemed. And he couldn't redeem it at the cross because there were predestinated seed in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
And he had to stay on there to make intercessions until that last person was finished.
Yes.
Glory.
Amen.
Is he still waiting on the last one?
Amen.
And then souls that are in prison. 63. A day later. November the 10th. The Lamb took his book when the seventh seal, just ready for it to be opened. The sixth seal. Remember, he hid the seventh seal from us. Brother Branham, you told us what it meant, and now he's still hid from us. He told us his revelation was why it was hidden.
Yeah.
But he didn't. I don't hear him say what it was, except the coming of the Lord.
Right.
He wouldn't do it when the angel stood day by day telling it, but then he wouldn't do it on that one. What's he talking about? When the angel stood day by day. Brother Branham sitting in his den, and every day the angel of the Lord came to him and said, now here's what the first seal, here's the second seal, here's the third seal, here's the fourth seal, here's the fifth seal, here's the sixth seal. But when he got to the seventh, the angel wouldn't tell him.
Right.
I can tell you why the angel wouldn't tell him. Angel didn't know. Is that what the scripture said? Not even the angels of heaven knew it.
Amen.
You mean there was maybe one that did? He wouldn't do it on that one. Said there's silence in heaven. No one knew. It was the coming of the Lord. Oh, you say it can't be. I hope it isn't. Just let's go a little farther here. I got something wrote down, see? All right. Then in Feast of the Trumpets. Now this jumps over to 9 months later, from November to July of 64. Paragraph 147, the Feast of the Trumpets. The gathering of Israel is the trumpets. The trumpets is to gather Israel. Notice the first trumpet sounded, blood, fire, hail, and everything, scatter the ground. What was he doing? Bringing Israel out of spiritual Egypt, see, back into his homeland. Now let me say this right here. That every trumpet that blowed under the sixth seal. We'll get to it in a few minutes where we caught the seal there. All the trumpets sounded under the sixth seal. Because the seventh seal, there was silence. No one knew that was the minute or hour that Christ would come. As he revealed it to us. Did he reveal the hour and a minute to Brother Branham? Or is Brother Branham, to me, Brother Branham is saying, he revealed to us that that's the reason he kept the secret.
Yeah, right.
That's the reason it was silent, because it was a secret to be kept and nobody was doing it. He said, that's my revelation of it. That nobody is to know it, and therefore he had silence in heaven.
Amen.
Now folks, I'm just a preacher. But as Brother Branham said, my Bible here in all sincerity, I don't think there's some great mystery that somebody's supposed to take the first part and hook it to the fifth part and the seventh part and the eighth part, come in here and do this, and you understand this, and it builds your rapturing faith up and you get that. I think we just understand it's the coming of the Lord, and we're to live a simple, humble Christian life and love one another.
Amen.
And God will see that we make it when it comes. Instead of getting up and making fun of somebody that says they don't know what it is. Because I'm waiting for somebody to tell me what it is. I've read everything Brother Branham's got to say about it. The Bible don't say but one thing. Jesus never mentioned it. John omitted it. It's not in there. Where are you getting what you believe? I tell you what, you're being used by a spirit to bring discord among the brethren. Because those that say that they know, no two of them agree.
That's right.
I believe it's the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
The hour, the time, the minute, and I believe it's fitting in Revelation 19. It ushers in the millennium. And I want you to know, I'm planning on being there.
Yes.
Remember now, 8th and begin with the 7th verse. All was the calling out of Israel, natural in Egypt. Now it's the calling out of Israel in the spiritual sense. He was making them ready to come to the Feast of the Atonement. Notice the Feast of the Trumpets was first, which was Pentecost. Now we studied the feast here a while back, and this should help you. The Feast of the Atonement followed it. 50 days later, the Feast of the Atonement. Read it here. We'll probably, if we have time, we'll refer to it and read it to you out of the Bible. Here in Leviticus 12. In Leviticus 16, we find that the first was the Feast of the Trumpets, was the Atonement, and after it followed Pentecost. Now we find out the Feast of the Atonement followed the Feast of the Trumpets. Now notice a trumpet sounded, and that was to gather them together. Now the first trumpet blowed, there was hail, blood, fire sprayed upon the earth, just exactly like it was in Egypt, making ready to call them to the Day of the Atonement. See, they rejected the true Atonement. And this year has been lengthened, and out through here has been the years of Pentecost. See, now the sounding for the Jews comes next. This has been the calling out of the church, watch real close now, which afterwards he took them to the land of promise, which he will do the same thing in which in symbol he takes the church to the land of promise. Remember, every trumpet sounded under the sixth seal. Only then when it sounded. Notice now exactly the continuity of the scripture. Exactly the same. Under the seventh trumpet is to Israel the same as the seventh seal was to the church.
Yes. Amen.
We find under the seventh seal that when these souls that were under the altar there that received robes, they were given robes, not that they earned them because they were in the dispensation when God was still dealing with grace with the Gentiles, not Jews. Israel is saved as a nation. God deals with Israel as a nation. Gentiles is a people for his name, not a nation for his name. That's Israel.
Yes.
And on page 26 of Feast of the Trumpet, Brother Branham said, the seventh seal has not been opened. That is the coming of the Lord. And that's the last time he mentions it. I was at a meeting and brothers were really explaining all of this, how it happened, what it was and everything else, and I showed them that statement. Brothers, what do you do with this statement that Brother Branham said it wasn't revealed? And they said, well, it's written. I said, yeah, but you don't believe it. They won't get up and say it.
Right.
How can you say you believe every word that Brother Branham said?
Yeah.
And then leave some of it out. If I understand it correctly, Brother Branham said, if you're going to believe the Bible, believe every verse from Genesis to Revelation.
Amen.
And if you got one that don't fit what you believe, you got it wrong somewhere.
Amen.
I believe this message is the same way.
Yes.
Do you know what happened under the seventh seal? Can I tell you? Silence. Anybody tells you anything different? They can't read. What they need is a dictionary to look up the meaning of silence. Brother Branham substituted the word empty, stillness, deadly silent. You know, there's something about, you know, when Paul teaches about we're dead in Christ. I don't know where I heard this, but you know, if there's a dead man here, I can walk up and kick him, and he's not offended. He won't even grunt. If I try the second time, he won't even dodge. I think we ought to be dead in Christ.
Amen.
And none of these things should move us. And if it's silent, we should hold our peace.
Yes, right.
I think the simplicity of the word. And I'm not going to apologize for keeping you so long tonight, because I'm going to let you have the next two nights without church. And if we have it 30 days in a row, each service will be about an hour long. And if you won't come any other way, we'll feed you supper. If I tell you we're going to have supper about 6 o'clock, everybody... No, I shouldn't say that. More people would show up.
I'll be here anyway.
Don't you appreciate God's word?
Amen.
Amen.
And remember, the coming of the Lord was to be preceded by a message.
Right.
A voice from heaven, from a pillar of fire. You are sent with a message.
Yes.
To forerun the second coming of the Lord.
Amen. Right.
And so hear that message. Obey that. Make yourself ready.
Yeah.
And you'll hear that silence broken and see what it is when that time comes.
Amen.
Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years, we'll have no temple then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years, we'll have no kingdom. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. You believe Satan will be bound?
Amen.
And we'll have no tempter then? Wouldn't it be something, you know? I think Brother Branham said the way he'd be bound is there won't be anybody who would be willing to be used by him.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? It's like Brother Earl Midcap said, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody just obeyed the word of God?
Yes.
And believed every word of it? And if you said this, you go, that's what I expected when I moved to Tucson. I expected everybody to love everybody and have no differences, because if we had a difference, we'd hear what Brother Branham had to say, and that'd be, and you know, that's the way it should have been all the time. There's only one Spirit, one leadership of the Holy Ghost. And if we all have that Spirit and we're led by that Spirit, there's no controversy among us.
Amen.
That's why we say if we love God and we don't love each other, the truth's not in us. Then love one another.
Amen.
Love those that despitefully use you, persecute you, say all manner of evil again. And you know what? You'll be ready for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing, Have Faith in God. Have faith in God. Yes, amen. Yes, have faith. He's coming back to this earth when he's on a white horse in Revelation 19. To set up his millennial kingdom.
Yes.
And I believe that that is the seventh seal.
Right.
We don't know when or where. But Johnny just handed me this statement, and you've heard Brother Ram say it. The seventh seal brings him back to earth.
Right. Exactly.
That's souls in prison. We're going to be there.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Come go with me.
Amen.
There's room there for all of us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.